Welcome back to the show. Todd Zwillick with you this morning. Well, it's the show that's launched a million blog posts, HBO's new series, Girls. Listen.
It may be time for one final push.
What is a final push?
We're not going to be supporting you any longer.
See, I wasn't
going
to phrase it like that, Lorraine, the way you phrase it.
But I have no job.
No, you have an internship that you say is going to turn into a job.
I don't know when.
You graduated from college 2 years ago. We've been supporting you for 2 years, and that's enough.
That's a clip from Girls, written by and starring Lena Dunham. It was initially the subject of overwhelming praise for telling the story of 20-something New York females in a new way. Here she is speaking to The Takeaway not long ago.
My goal was to depict a kind of girl or kind of young person that I thought was really prevalent that I hadn't necessarily seen on TV before.
But in those 2 weeks since the series premiere, the conversation about Girls has shifted somewhat. Everywhere from the blogosphere to the New York Times, critics are asking, why does this show, which takes place in Brooklyn, New York in 2012, have an all-white cast? After all, only a third of Brooklyn is white in reality. Well, Russell Robbins is professor of law at the University of California, Berkeley, and author of a study on race, ethnicity, and gender and casting in Hollywood. Professor, hello.
Hello.
And Melissa Silverstein is editor of Women and Hollywood and the artistic director of the Athena Film Festival. Hi, Melissa.
Good morning.
Welcome. Melissa, let me start with you. There are lots of shows with all-white casts. Two and a Half Men, How I Met Your Mother, they're hits. There are other ones we'll talk about. Why is everyone picking on Girls all of a sudden? Is it because it's about girls for some reason?
I think part of it is that it is about girls, and the fact that it is the expectations for the show were so high, and the fact that the early reviews and most people like it, even people who are criticizing it about race, really find it groundbreaking. So what I feel that this conversation is doing is taking the whole discussion about television and race to a whole new place that it wasn't safe to discuss before.
Russell, let me read you something from a listener in Miami who sent us this text, and I want your reaction because it kind of goes exactly to the question I wanted to ask you. This listener from Miami says, not in my particular case. In other words, the question was, do you find the racial diversity of your life reflected in television? Not in my particular case, no. Brazilians and Argentinian characters aren't common to see, and most people think of caricatures about those races. So I think it's better this way for now. And here's the part that I thought was most important. It doesn't bother me because I can still relate to the human condition, regardless of race or culture. And it's that last part I want to turn on you. Do we really care that this one show that's a hit doesn't have any significant African American or Latino characters when it's just about the human condition?
Well, I think the concern is that we lose certain parts of the human condition when we don't think about race and ethnicity, right? I mean, race matters, and that's a part of life for many people. And I think that when we have several series, because it's not just one, when we have several series that leave out race, that don't think about race, or race is only in the secondary characters, and the leads, the sort of people that are sort of representing the human condition primarily, are white, we're losing information about how we live life today. In Brooklyn in 2012, race continues to matter, and you don't see that by watching Girls.
Russell, do you think it's important to have a racially mixed cast in a show that has nothing to do with race? Take a show like Big Bang Theory, which is a three-camera sitcom of just kind of jokes. If there were a black character on that show, there might be a couple of, like, jokes about the black experience, but it wouldn't really be about the black experience because everyone on that show is a caricature. There's a caricature nerd, caricature girls, caricature Indian guy. In that case, would it matter so much, or are you talking about shows that are a little more deep and realistic?
Well, I think it matters even there because, I mean, that's part of black life, right? There are black nerds. People don't imagine that, and I guess I count myself in the category of black nerd. I'm a professor, right? So it changes the constructions of black men to have a black man included in a group of nerds, and that's powerful. The other thing is that, you know, being black doesn't mean that every moment of your life you're talking about race. So I think it's important to sort of show, and Happy Endings is one example of this. You see a black character who's part of a group of friends that are mostly white, and once in a while race comes up, but it's not like every line has to be about the black condition.
Melissa, what about a show like 30 Rock? It strikes me, they did a live show last night. 30 Rock is a show that's managed to have black and white characters, but also at many, many points to make reference to black caricatures through the black characters and kind of diffuse all of this criticism. They have a character called Twofer because he's from Harvard And because he's black, you get a twofer. That's why people call him that. They've addressed it through their humor. That's one show that's managed to kind of diffuse this whole thing. Melissa?
Well, I think 30 Rock is just so smart that when they're able to take on these issues, we see them for what they are, which are issues in our culture. But what I wanted to talk about also is Shonda Rhimes, who has taken this issue about race and made it a non-issue on her shows. And I think that's the kind of shows that I love and I'm looking for. Like, her show now with Kerry Washington has an African-American lead, and that's the first female lead in, like, 40 years on television. But throughout all of Shonda's shows, race is just another part of being a person, and I think that's what the professor was trying to say.
Yeah. Melissa, a listener from Warren, Michigan, sends this text. I'd love your reaction. I've only seen a handful of strong women with agency on TV. It's frustrating that there aren't more three-dimensional women on TV. Plenty of women on TV, but not more three-dimensional women. What do you think?
I completely agree, and I think that was part of why people like girls, I mean, you have Glenn Close on TV now, you have Kira Sedgwick, and they're all playing like lawyers and cops. And they're in a different level of their lives. And here are young women who are struggling with becoming people, as, you know, Hannah says all the time in the show. It's like why they titled it Girls is we're not yet fully formed. We see so many young men on television who are not yet fully formed, and that is kind of part of like sitcom TV. But having these young women really exploring issues of becoming adults in this kind of, as Lena says, in this crazy recessional times where an internship, you know, you desperate that it's going to turn into a job that mm-hmm. you can pay to live with three people in, you know, a walk up. That's, you know, right. Takes you 45 minutes to get to.
Completely unrealistic. It's not the first time, by the way, that shows set in New York have been accused of that kind of non-realism. That's Melissa Silverstein, editor of Women in Hollywood and artistic director of the Athena Project, also talking to Professor Russell Robinson from the University of California at Berkeley. Thank you both so much for coming on.
Thank you.